No, I do think I've wanted men to see me as strong in the past. I think that's been quite important.
So how did you do that then? How did you show men that you were strong?
Well, I suppose, I mean, if we're talking about sexually, then I was always quite, in the bedroom department, I had always been quite domineering and very straightforward about what I wanted and all that sort of thing.
Look how confident I am. Look how I know what I want. Look how in control I can
And I
be.
wouldn't, exactly, and I wouldn't, I mean, okay, we could talk, I mean, in very graphical terms, maybe because of the rape, I'm not sure, and maybe compounded by the fact that my husband said that I couldn't make him come because I got too wet or I got too excited. He ne would never really go down on me. And it was like this kind of mystery for me that a lot of my friends could have an orgasm from that. And in fact, a lot of them would only have an orgasm from that. And they couldn't understand how I could have an orgasm from penetration. It was like, well, you're just weird, So, but yeah, that was seriously a big mystery to me, that people would talk about this amazing thing. And I'm like, well, A, it wasn't really happening. But even when it did, I was like, I don't really enjoy it. I don't get it. I felt self-conscious. And I think that was, I do believe it's to do with the rape. And maybe this is the bit, and I say until now or until that these times, I haven't felt dirty. And maybe this isn't a feeling of dirt, but there was a kind of a feeling of, I didn't necessarily want somebody to, with their head between my legs.
Yeah,
It was
really
like it
that
was
close to
too
you.
intimate and it was too close to a place that had connections back to that. And basically, I think that's the part of like being domineering. I was kind of like, well, no, you don't have to do that. I'll
Yeah,
just
let
get
me
on
do
top of
that
you.
for you.
Exactly.
I
Very
see, I
much like
see.
I'm the queen of blowjobs. So
Which,
that
of
was like,
course, a lot of men would find the most amazingly fantastic
Well,
thing,
they did. I
a
mean, that's the thing.
fantasy in a way.
I mean, when I split up from my husband and I was very sexually active for quite a while, I was trying to, I
Get
don't
out
know
there.
what I was trying to prove, but I was proving it a lot. And, I did go a bit insane. And I was very domineering and I was, and nobody did that to me. Nobody would go down on me. I wouldn't even let them go near.
So listen, I've got to ask you. So is one of the things that Jason does he go down on you really well?
Amazingly. He's the king, I have to say. No, I mean, seriously, but the thing is, what was nice about it was that it's only happened, I've only orgasmed through it. I started maybe about 6 months ago. It's that recent,
That's an
and it's a
amazing
huge
thing.
thing for me. But I think it's because there's that amazing connection there, and it's taken a while to sort of not trust him, because I've always trusted him, but trust myself that I could let myself go. And then I'm like, well, this is brilliant, isn't it? This is really good. Let's do more of this.
How fantastic.
So,
What an amazing, I mean, okay, that's, it's a, I don't, it's not a graphic description, but it's a very specific, but it, as a signature, if you like, of your journey, that's an amazing thing.
It was hugely powerful because as well, it was something that, even in a physical sense, lying there is a vul you're vulnerable,
Extremely
and I was
vulnerable.
allowing myself to be vulnerable and letting go, and that was probably one of the first times in that sense as well. I mean, Jason and I, we've had really from day one, we've had great sex, we really have, and I always sort of say it's a bit cliched because when you talk to people about sex, people go, oh, I don't want to have sex, I don't want to make love, I want to fuck, fucking's far more interesting. Well, actually, no, you can do both. This is what I've decided. Jason taught me how to make love and he taught me how to have emotional sex, which was incredible. But now, because I can do that with him, we can then do all the other interesting exploratory fucking stuff as well. But we get, so we get to do it all. But it's that took a big connection and a lot of trust to achieve.
We've been talking for 1 hour and 25 minutes. Can you believe that?
God.
So, Just last question, and isn't it funny? So here we are. Here's the thing I didn't think we would talk about. Can I ask you about your dad?
Yeah, sure.
Because in that whole story...
Yeah, we didn't mention him once.
But of course he wasn't there, was he? Because he died a year before it happened. Yeah. And yet, just because someone dies doesn't mean they're not present in your life. Mm-hmm. In your life.
Yeah.
And you don't have to talk about it, but I almost feel like I need to honour your dad a little bit in this conversation. And was he there? Is he there in your life? What shape was the hole he left?
This is going to sound a weird thing. I didn't feel a lot of his absence after the rape and during my teens. And I think I only felt it more like late 20s, early 30s, because he'd been ill for a very long time.
Right.
He had died a very long, slow, horrible, painful death of cancer and like literally lasting about 4 years.
Right.
And I did a lot of my kind of mourning and acceptance, even at that young age. And I think actually when he died, there was just years of relief because he had been so ill.
Of course. Yeah.
And I guess in some ways we were just dealing with so much stuff that I almost hadn't had time to kind of miss him because we were dealing like with the rape. It was almost like, well, I'm going to have to come back to my dad's death because it's too much. But then I think it hit me more in my 20s. I mean, I had a bit of a sort of mini breakdown in my 20s when my husband went away for 6 months to Bosnia and I was left on my own. And although I had friends and family around me, you know, it was quite an isolating time. And I, you know, I was struggling with problems at work or something and I ended up on antidepressants for a little while. And I think that a lot of that was about my dad as well then. And I think it sort of came back to bite me then. I still miss things about him and I miss that, you know, but a lot of it is ideas about him. It's very difficult to remember what was real. I was only 12 when he died.
And if he was ill as a progression towards
I mean, that was a chunk of my memory of was him not being very well from 8 till 12.
Yeah, so it wasn't like he was bouncing around and suddenly he was gone. He was
I mean,
an ill
I think
man.
It takes on a new meaning. Obviously, I've had kids. So, of course, when you have kids, it makes everything that bit more poignant because he will never obviously meet them. And there's things that my son and daughter do that remind me of him, you know, even that way, that far down the line. But, you know, their quirkiness sometimes. He was a very quirky chap.
How different do you think things might have been? You know, when you talked about, you know, I've still got that image of that 14-year-old getting a haircut and walking straight into the centre of town.
Oh, well, that wouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't it?
No. He was very strict. He was... I mean, my mum was obviously a parent. My mum is not a very mumsy mum, in all honesty. You know, we've had our issues. And often I've actually felt that the roles are reversed, that I parent her more than she parents me. But my dad was very, very strict. He had a set of beliefs. He was very much, you know... He sometimes would, you know, get a bit physical in terms of his, you know, punishments and stuff. So he didn't hit me, in all honesty, not okay. seriously. He was very cruel to my brother.
Right.
And, you know, raised his fist to him a few times. He'd beaten my mum up a couple of times.
Right.
Don't think he ever really did anything with my sister. But he was on my sister's case a lot because when she was growing up, I mean, she was in her early part of her teens and I know got involved with this relationship that she sort of shouldn't have got involved in or whatever. So they were always clashing, you know. But he was a big drinker as well. He had a few issues with alcohol, I think. He was an amazing guy, but a bit of a crazy, messed up guy too, you know. But I don't necessarily feel that had he been around, it would have been any better.
No,
in all honesty, I just think it was circumstance. I think, you know.
I mean, I'm just going back to the you know, when you were describing you and your mum sitting on the sofa in your.
Yeah.
In your new little house that you both really liked, things sounded pretty good, actually.
They were, actually. And I mean, she had, I think, you know, had kind of got a new lease of life at that point because I think, you know, she'd been looking after my dad for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Before that, she'd been looking after her mum that died, literally, like for years, had just been this sort of unpaid nursemaid to
everybody. Before that, she'd had three young kids.
Yeah. So she'd not had an easy time. And that was why the house was lovely, because it was like this fresh start.
Yeah,
and she was free. I mean, we had money because we'd sold the house and she'd made money on the house. And we were living a nice little life. And that nice little life, literally, we moved there in the spring and that life only lasted about 5 months.
Mm.
And then the attack happened.
Mm.
I've always said, you know, people go, why do these things happen? Why me? Why me? Well, I've always thought, why not me? I was obviously being tested, and I feel that, you know, I was sort of tested for a reason. And I sort of feel I'm here for a reason, you know, maybe I'm hitting upon that reason now by writing and stuff.
Mm.
But, so I don't regret it.
No,
really.
I mean it, don't you?
I try and always see crappy stuff as a blessing eventually. I mean, seriously, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
How are you going to teach your kids that without them having to learn those lessons themselves? We talked about this a bit at lunch, didn't we?
Well, I think telling them the truth.
Listen, let's stop. Thank you ever so much.
My pleasure.
Really, really great.
I've actually really enjoyed it.
Are you sure?
I have. I've learned more about myself.
Okay.
You know, or where I'm at now.
Yeah. Thanks.
No worries.